So let me reset going in the third hour. Vic Beverly arrested over the weekend, disorderly conduct, and suspended indefinitely from Clemson football. Braves lose 2 out of 3 to Milwaukee. Braves lead down, cut down to 3 games. Wyndham Clark wins in St. Louis this weekend, finals for the PGA Tour at Eastlake for the FedEx Cup. Ryan Blaney won at New Hampshire. NFL reject now, Daquan Wright played 2 games with the Browns, now headed back to LSU to play. Men's soccer, 2-0 win for Clemson against East Tennessee State. They play at South Carolina this coming up Friday night. And the NFL weekend, and Major League Baseball weekend, the week 0 coming up. Just as a quick note here, we're all jazzed about college football starting. Now, to be fair, one thing I always tell you every year is there's games you're going to watch this weekend that you're excited about that if they were in October, you wouldn't watch. If North Carolina and TCU played in week 3, you wouldn't watch it. But you're so starved for it now, you do, and we do. TCU's a 7.5-point favorite in Dublin, Ireland at noon against North Carolina. At 3 o'clock on NBC, Southern Cal's a 38.5-point favorite against San Jose State. I'll watch it, but in week 3, you wouldn't. But that's the difference in week 0 and week 3. Huge game. Non-conference game, oh, by the way. NC State and Virginia in Scott Stadium. It's supposed to be down in Brazil. That fell through. The both teams tried to get some NIL money, and the organizers couldn't get it done and get it done right with security and safety and all that. So NC State goes to Charlottesville. Virginia, 5.5-point favorite from Scott Stadium. 3:30 ESPN. 5:30 CBS Sports Network, Jacksonville State, North Dakota State. North Dakota State's first game is a FBS school. 7-point favorite against Jacksonville State. Sacramento State, Eastern Michigan. 7 o'clock ACC Network, Hawaii and Stanford. I don't know why my granddad said Hawaii, but Hawaii and Stanford. He also said Washington machines in Washington, D.C. and Miami. But Hawaii and Stanford. Stanford, a 5.5-point favorite with a new head coach. 7 o'clock on the C-Dub. Florida State on the C-Dub starting things out. New Mexico State, Florida State. Florida State, 31.5-point favorite. And then 10 o'clock on Fox, maybe the best game of the day. Maybe Virginia and NC State's best game of the day. If not, it's Memphis and UNLV. 10 o'clock on Fox and UNLV, a 5.5-point favorite. You maybe ask yourself, okay, well, how about Thursday? Thursday's not great coming up. Not this Thursday. This Thursday you'll be with our WCCP kickoff show, 5 to 8. The following Thursday, Massachusetts or UMass and Rutgers, you get Akron, Wake Forest, Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Missouri. The one good game, and it's not a great game, but it's week 1 and it's a Thursday night, so we'll watch it. Deion Sanders coming back to Atlanta. Former Brave, former Falcon, coming back to the ATL. Colorado and Georgia Tech. Tech 6.5-point favorite. Then you'll get Eastern Michigan and Minnesota, Idaho, Utah, and UAB at Illinois. Next Friday night, you get Indiana State, Purdue, UTEP, Oklahoma. How about BV open up on a Friday night? That's crazy. SEC team on a Friday night. You get Miami at Stanford. ESPN, 9 o'clock game. Miami, 24.5-point favorite there. Stanford in week 2, though. And Fresno State and Southern Cal. Southern Cal is going to play 2 football games before almost everybody else in the country plays 1. Because they play on week 0, then they play Friday night on week 1. That's kind of crazy. 22.5-point favorite against Fresno State. And then the real thing starts a week from Saturday. So just a little run-up to it. So the point being, if North Carolina and TCU or NC State, Virginia, or Memphis, UNLV were week 3, you wouldn't watch. But we're so starved. We want dollar menu. Week Zero's dollar menu.
I remember last year, the Week Zero slate, I thought it was going to be crap. I thought it was going to be a steamed turd.
Yeah.
But we got, I mean, we got
let me go back
pretty good game. FSU, Georgia Tech. You remember that?
Georgia Tech stunned. No, that was 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago, right?
2 years ago.
Yeah, because I think I'm right by saying this. Oh, I can't get my right dates up now. They're not going to let me do this. Last year, Florida State opened up with Alabama.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So 2 years ago in Dublin. That really sent Florida State spiraling, because if you remember in that one, Florida State, that might have been the beginning of the end for Mike Norvell. Florida State before that, they were coming off of 13-1. They were ranked 10th in the country. They were a 10-point favorite. Loss. Then a 16-point favorite to Boston College. Lost. Lost by 25 in that one. Then a 6-point favorite to Memphis. Loss. They barely beat Cal. They barely beat Fernando Mendoza and Cal 14-9. I saw that game. It was a terrible game. And then they got crushed by SMU, got crushed by Clemson, lost at Duke, got crushed by Miami, got crushed by North Carolina, got crushed by Notre Dame. They beat Charleston Southern, and they got beat bad by Florida. Their two wins were California and Charleston Southern on a 2-10 team. Come back. They beat Alabama, and then they're ranked. They go from unranked last year. They beat Alabama in week one. They're ranked 14th in the country. You don't remember this, but Florida State last year got up to number 7 in the country. They were 3-0, and then they got beat in double overtime at Virginia. Ended up going 5-7. Florida State was in the top 10 in the country at some point in time last year.
That's insane. Seven. That UVA game last year was electric.
And that set UVA to the ACC championship game.
But to back it up, week zero, even though we're looking at it like a bunch of stinkers, and, you know, at the end of the season, we'll probably look back at it like a bunch of stinkers.
Yeah.
Considering who the matchups are against. But that doesn't mean they can't be electric. Just games that captivate you, because it's, again, it might be a spinach salad, but we haven't eaten in 8 months.
We're hungry. We're starved.
I want that salad.
Yeah.
Just give me some vinaigrette dressing.
When Florida State beat Louisville for the ACC Championship 2023, and Mike Norvell finished off a perfect 13-0 regular season. What if I'd have told you that after that game, that Florida State would go win seven of their next 25, and their 7 wins would have been against Charleston Southern, East Texas A&M, Kent State, Virginia Tech, Wake Forest, Cal, in Alabama. What? Okay. At the end of that, after beating Louisville, if I'd have told you that, oh, and by the way, their losses were to Stanford and Memphis and Boston College. Anyway, what if I'd have told you that if I'd have told you after that 13-0 regular season that they'd beat Alabama, you go, yeah, of course they would. But not coming off of 2-10 and really winning 2 of the last 13, and now they've won 7 of their last 25. The last time that Florida State, let's see if I'm right with saying this. No. I can't go the right. I'll tell you about something. I'll try to come with another Florida State stat, tell you how bad it's been. But it's been bad. And now this is it. He's done. Quick win game?
Yes.
New Mexico State?
Win.
SMU on Labor Day night?
Loss.
I agree. At Alabama?
Loss.
Central Arkansas?
Win.
Virginia at home?
Loss.
I'm going to give them a win. They'll lose. I'll give them a win. At Louisville,
Loss.
I agree. At Miami?
Loss.
I agree. Clemson at home?
Loss.
I agree. At Boston College?
Win.
I agree. At Pittsburgh?
Loss.
I agree with that, too. NC State at home?
I'll give them a win there.
All right. I'll give them a loss. We've got seven losses there. And then Florida at home.
Florida. Loss.
That's 4-8. He's gone. He has, I'm telling you right now, he has no chance to be the head coach at Florida State next year. And I don't think makes it. He might not make it to Clemson, because if you lost to SMU, Alabama, Virginia, Louisville, Miami, and you only beat New Mexico State and Central Florida, Arkansas, you're 2-5. You're 2-5, and you might not coach in Death Valley. There's a chance right now, if you look at Clemson's schedule, there's a chance right now that he doesn't make it. Fran Brown makes it Syracuse, because they're not good enough. But maybe Frank, Shane Beamer doesn't. You can have two coaches on rival games that might be interim guys coaching your game. But at the same time, while I do see an out for South Carolina, I do see a chance that South Carolina can make the college football playoff. I see no avenue for Mike Norvell keeping his job. Nunzo.
I mean, 10 wins.
Yeah, but he's not gonna get 5 wins. He won't get half of that. There's a better chance of him winning 4 than there is winning 10.
What if every single team they play this year has injuries to every single person in their 2 deep?
It would take the bus. It would take COVID showing up the an hour before they're supposed to play to tell them we're not playing that day.
Well, those aren't wins. I think if that happens, he's still gone.
QCT says, are you sure FSU can afford the buyout? My thing is, they can't afford not to buy him out. Because for every game he coaches, that's one more deep down in the hole. That's one more game to dig out of. Put the shovel down. Fire the guy. He's done. Dunzo.
They have to. FSU has to get back to winning in the next 3 years, because one, it with the new rev share model, it's killing them financially.
Yeah.
And two, they want to get out of the ACC anyway. They got to win to do that.
It ain't good. We'll come back. Here's an interesting Clemson football question. Mitch says, Tiger Illustrated said this morning that Alexander could start at Mike and Brown moved to Will. We'll talk about that opportunity maybe after a very short break. So a texter said that Tiger Illustrated reported this morning that you could see Sammy Brown and Jeremiah Alexander playing at the same time. Here's the issue with that. Alexander is not great in pass coverage. He's a thumper between the tackles. He's not fleet of foot. But he's the thump guy. And he's a guy that can stop the run. Well, Clemson has to stop the run. I think LSU wants to run the football. I know they want to throw it, and the strength of the team is, well, on offense, I'm not sure what it is. Maybe Sam Levitt, maybe obviously Green, maybe Eugene Wilson, maybe Winston Watkins and all that. But you got to be able to run the ball a little bit. Last year, LSU couldn't run it. Last year, LSU averaged 104 yards a game on the ground, and it wasn't good. Last year, they ran for 108 against Clemson. They need to run the football better. Now, Ole Miss last year in Lane Kiffin's offense, they ran it for 176 a game. So, if they're going to try to run the football right at Clemson, remember, Clemson defensive tackles are an issue. So, maybe Jeremiah Alexander takes care of that and cleans up what the defensive tackles don't do great work there and between the tackles guy. I like that strategy. And maybe Sammy Brown moves over to Will, a guy playing a little better space, can cover a little bit better, runs a little bit better, drops into coverage better maybe. You like that idea a little bit?
I could see it working, but I have my doubts about Alexander out there.
McLeod much better in coverage. Alexander might be better between the tackles. But you got an either or in there. There's not that one answer that Ferrelli would have given them. And now Sammy Brown's got to move around a lot. from Will back to Mike. With that said, same thing on Clemson side of things. Clemson couldn't run the ball. Remember last year, the Tigers ran the ball for 31 yards against LSU. And Clemson didn't run it very well last year either. Clemson last year averaged 124 yards a game on the ground. Who'd have thought that Clemson would average 20 more yards a game on the ground than LSU? LSU, with all those great tailbacks through the years, just didn't have it last year. Now they go get Caden Durham, who we thought was going to have a great year after his freshman campaign, didn't work out. Last year he was down almost 300 yards rushing. He went from six touchdowns down to three, went from 753 yards down to 505. He was hurt, and it didn't go great. They bring a freshman in Harlan Berry. They had about 500 yards and two touchdowns. He was good, not great. They go get Wisconsin running back Dylan Jones, who last year had 300 yards rushing. But they don't have that NFL back right now and kind of a rebuild offensive line. So what do they want to do? My guess is they need to run the ball better. I'm not saying next Saturday night against Clemson, but they've got to run the ball better. And I think that Clemson's secondary is a pretty good matchup there. Clemson's got a little better secondary this year than they had this time last year. So maybe, just maybe, kind of plays in the strengths there for you a little bit. But I'll give you this thought about that game. Whoever runs the football more successfully wins in Baton Rouge. Neither ran it well in the game last year, but LSU outgained Clemson by 70 yards on the ground, and they won the game. Neither team ran it well last year. Clemson 124 and LSU 104 per game rushing. Lane Kiffin and Chad Morris have to complement a passing game, a play-action game with a run game. Whoever runs the football better in Baton Rouge wins the game. You buying it?
Yeah, and unfortunately I feel like that favors FSU.
LSU, you mean? Yeah, LSU.
LSU.
Yeah.
Same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I think LSU. Well,
they've got a more mobile quarterback that we've seen.
Yep. Sam Levitt did run a little bit at Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that when Sam Levitt was good at Arizona State, it was when he was that moxie resiliency guy. In 24, he rushed for 443 yards and five touchdowns. It was down to 306 last year. He was hurt a little bit, but the other thing is, like every other quarterback in the world, once you establish yourself, you think you're an NFL guy, you stay in the pocket more. I prove myself in the pocket. I'm not giving my body up. I'm trying to impress NFL scouts. I want to show my arm, show my ability to stay in the pocket, and I am not the running quarterback I once was. And now he's been hurt. He's coming off an injury.
Mm-hmm.
So is he, you know, can he run the football now? We'll see.
I think he's going to have a lot more benefit to actually playing loose. I mean, we saw it with Sellers last year.
Yeah.
What did that get Sellers? Well, another year in college, which made him more money than he would have made.
He's much higher paid. He will make more at South Carolina than he makes in the NFL.
Lifetime? Or this year?
I mean, the last 2 years he's made... I'm going to guess he's making $7 million or $8 million. He's going to make that in the NFL? I don't know.
No.
I don't know, man.
Unless he's number one overall.
Sam Levitt in 24, I go back to that Texas game. Remember that? The double overtime loss? He had 13 carries for 60 yards. And stayed in that one. The Kansas win had 77 yards rushing. The Mississippi State win had 68 yards rushing and two touchdowns. Like that sophomore year, the second year. Now we don't have sophomores yet. The second year, he ran it effectively. Last year, started out running it pretty well and then kind of tanked it. 73 yards rushing, 25, 59, 62, and 62. Yeah. Yeah, he can run the football. And I think he's going to have to run it. But do you want him running it now coming off of the ACL stuff? Maybe you can even say this. Maybe you could say whoever gets more rushing yards from the quarterback wins the game. Could I talk you into that? You got to contain the quarterback as well.
Yeah, yeah. And as much as people want to say that Vezina is not a running quarterback, he's not. But we've seen him be able to, I don't want to say turn the Jets on, but move his body downfield.
Yeah. Next Monday is the, is that right? Or is it Sunday? Bear with me. August 30th. August 30th is on Sunday. Next Sunday at 6 o'clock, NFL teams have to be down to 53. So could we see this time next Monday in a NCAA college football teams' rosters changing like crazy?
I mean, we've got seven that are already trying to get back in. Well, six now.
I'll tell you this. A texter mentioned it a while ago. This is not college football anymore. This is semi-pro football now. So we can start calling it that. In semi-pro action, Texas A&M beat Arkansas 31-7. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Texas said the unknown of Clemson's offense is a strength. We don't know anything about them. I get your point. I don't think you're wrong. But I can tell you pretty much schematically what would like to happen. You're gonna see a lot of formations. You'll see some motion. But Clemson's gonna try to run the football. And I just don't see, well, this game's different. I'm not saying for one game. Clemson could get 60 yards rushing next Saturday night and win the game because you could block a punt, you could get a scoop and score. You know, it could be a low-scoring game anyway. I think that the consensus out there right now is that we'll see a pretty low-scoring game. We'll see over-under for Clemson and LSU. Consensus now is I think we'll see low. Let's see what Vegas agree with this one. Agree with us on this one. If you had to guess over under for Clemson LSU,
I would say 52.5.
51.5. Very good guess, buddy.
Let's go.
Very, very good guess. As a matter of fact, that's in the lower 20%. Of over-unders for week one. Lower 20% for that one. Yeah. Lower 25% at least for that one. So 51.5.
Well, I mean, look at last year's matchup. I know there's been a lot of turnover. But yeah. I think we got maybe 50% of the point total.
Yeah.
From last year.
Yep, 17-10. I would expect another. I'd imagine if you gave either staff 23 right now, would you take 23? You take 23.
100%.
And always, defense is always ahead of offenses at this time of year anyway. So, interesting concept. Let's take our final break. We'll come back, wrap things up. I do have the Deshaun Watson take. We mentioned that earlier. I can go over it again because I have a text message on that. Let me tell you quickly. Deshaun messed up. Shouldn't have said what he said about the fan base. That said, the fan base booed him while he was hurt. While he's laying on the field hurt with a torn Achilles. So the fan base, you forfeit every right to be offended by what Deshaun Watson says about you because you booed him when he's on the ground. Deshaun Watson, you forfeit the right to be offended by them booing you because of what you did off the field. So this is like, oh, am I getting drunk? This is like when Iran and Iraq had their war. Who do you want to win? I don't know. I mean, lesser two evils, I don't know. Who do you support in that one? I don't know. Even Croatia and Russia. I don't know. Neither good. I don't want to pull for either one of them. So Deshaun forfeits the right to be offended. Browns fan forfeits the right to be offended. Both of you messed up. Both of you said some dumb stuff. Did some dumb stuff. So you forfeit all rights there. Final segment, you come back right after this. Saying, I'm 52 years old. Do I have any college eligibility left? Yeah. Texas made a good point. You don't like, don't listen. I want you to listen no matter what. Texas said authenticity was it. No, I'm not sure it's authenticity with the Little League World Series. I think wholesomeness or innocence maybe. Like, they're yet to be tainted, maybe. Slapdown Tiger says, Clemson has dogs. Not sure we have the Frisbees yet. I love it. Ah. 4491 says, Mickey Pollard has the same stronghold at ESPN as Pat McAfee. Yes. Yes, I do. Me and Pat McAfee. That's what we have in common. Yes. And our paychecks. Probably had that as well. 9383 says, your station struck a nerve by selling out to ESPN and not providing accurate takes on Clemson sports in the last 2 years. Really? We didn't sell out to ESPN.
This guy knows all the behind the scenes dealings.
As far as I know, like, ESPN didn't pay us to come on. We don't pay ESPN anything.
No. Like, they pay us to
I'm
use
sorry, 9383.
Our,
like,
you're
completely
non-live
lost
airspace.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And not being accurate takes on Clemson at least 2 years. Did you not listen to our shows last year? We ripped this team up and down. We're supposed to tell you when they win, we tell you they won. When they lost, tell you they lost and why and how. I can't.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah. If we can't agree with that, we just can't agree. Tech said, is Woodass going to make the team? If not, we need to bring him back to the Tigers. I think Woodass did himself a favor with an 80-yard pick six the other day. I think Woodass is going to make the team. I think that's the case. Hope he does, by the way. Mark such says, don't entertain an idiot. Well, again, he has his right to express his opinion on it. Texas said, let Deshaun lead Cleveland to a playoff spot, then the city of losers will love him. Again, my point on that is, if you're a fan, you can't be offended by what Deshaun Watson said over the weekend. Because when you booed him when he was laying on the ground hurt, you forfeit the right to be offended by his attitude about you. But if you're Deshaun Watson, if you forfeit your right. I mean, you forfeit your right to be offended by the Browns because some of the stuff that you got accused of and some of the stuff you paid not to go to court with. So neither have any kind of ground to stand on. Wyndham Clark wins. I'm not a Wyndham Clark fan. And I hope he doesn't win the FedEx Cup. Anybody going to East Lake this weekend down in Atlanta? Texas said, A. Woodass is on the team. Yeah, little brother. Oh, I disagree with 4491. I'm not going to get into this, 4491. But I disagree with that. Anyway, I better not. I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. But anyway, Braves 3 games lead. Let me get before I get to Butch and Fountain Inn quickly. Very interesting series coming up for the Atlanta Braves. In a playoff preview. They're off today, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in Atlanta. Dodgers and Braves. Keep an eye on that one. Brad Hughes is my Allstate agent. I'm a good hands with Brad Hughes. Good hands with Allstate, 292-3001. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. Brad Hughes Insurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. Thanks to Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. We got better in homeowners and better auto owners. We did it with Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. Oh, but oh, by the way, maybe the Milwaukee one, maybe that series was a preview of the playoffs as well. Final phone call of Monday, Reaction Monday, Pratt Injury Lawyer phone lines. Good morning, Butch and Fountain Inn. How you doing, buddy?
Brother, how you doing this morning?
God bless. I hope a good weekend. You have a good weekend?
Yeah, man. Good. Yeah, I cut some neighbor's grass. You know how it is.
Pay That's forward. Nice of you.
Yeah, man. I've been cutting their grass for 20 years, Mickey, for free. Since I've been living here, the neighbor across the street, her husband had a stroke, couldn't cut his grass. I just started cutting it, man, and then my neighbor next door, they rent. And I just started cutting it, and I ain't never quit.
Good for you, buddy. A job well done. Yeah.
Well, I don't do it for the recognition or nothing like that, man. They're my neighbors.
Yeah.
You know?
Good for you, buddy.
And it's funny that it ties into what I read this morning in Galatians. You know, it said all the laws are filled by loving thy neighbor. That's it. Love your neighbors. You love yourself, man.
Yeah, and the golden rule, you know, treat others as you wish to be treated. Yeah, love it.
Yeah, man, and, you know, I didn't even plan on talking about that this morning.
That's fantastic.
You asked what it did this weekend, and that's what it did, brother.
Fantastic. I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm ready for some, is it Furman and Anderson playing Thursday night?
Yeah, Thursday night. We've got the Paladins, man, and the Trojans.
Yeah, man, we're ready. I'm ready. I'm tired of us talking about it. Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? It's just, it's time to get up and put up or shut up, man.
Let's do it. Let's get it done now.
I know. Let's go. Let's get it. Let's do it.
I'm with you.
That's all I got, Mickey. I love you, brother.
Thank you. Love you too, my friend, Butch.
Yeah,
great stuff there for sure. That's great. We are going to be, speaking of which, we are going to be the College Football Kickoff Show, Southern Weaving Food Hall, on Thursday, 5 to 8 o'clock. Come on, see us. It's going to be an awesome time. Best music of the day over there, Mr. Will Clinton, for our two-minute drill. We don't skip music anymore. We give you the best music of the day.
It's hard to separate fact from fiction sometimes.
I'm friends with J.D. Sheldon, Chief of Police. There's no better character than Dole Hart.
Honky Tonk Man.
Love it.
One of the things I love from over the weekend, seeing Ronald Acuna and Michael Harris having fun, enjoying themselves with the Little League kids.
Yes.
That's what sports is for.
That's it. Nice to see it, man. And the kids all buying and all that. A lot of fun, a lot of energy for sure. Eric Newton, for all real estate needs in Clemson. I'll see Jeff Scott tonight. We'll be at practice, a baseball practice, and I'll ask you about Eric Newton and Jeff Scott and Newton Scott Associates, building your next home for you. Find out everything you need, ericnewton.com. My two-minute drill is, I call it a Kaiser blade. Yeah, Doe Hargraves, man. The very best in the business. My two-minute drill is that when we talk about college football from now on, we will call it semi-pro football. That's it. No more NCAA football. No more college football. Semi-pro football. Let me thank all of our callers, listeners, sponsors, texters, emails. Milt Lauder joins us tomorrow. Will you be back with me tomorrow?
I will. Let's do it.
Great job. Up next, two of my favorite people, Faxon Childress and Sam Jones. Friends, have a wonderful Monday, but most importantly, tune in tomorrow. That's when we'll see you right here on the radio.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville.